WFOD starts now.
It's Tuesday. We're live. I'm Mike. My co-host, Drunkard STL, is here. Hello, Drunk.
Hello.
And the king of pranks, the albino alligator, popcorn bitch, Mr. Travis Hulse, is here as well.
Hey.
And Matt. Hello, Matt.
Howdy, boys.
Guys, the phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Oh boy, do we have a show for you guys tonight.
Tell me about it.
Later on in the program, we're going to be talking to author Jessica Chiquetto Hinman. She has a book that's out now. It's going to be in paperback soon.
Did you read it?
I did.
Is it a doozy?
I did. Yes, it's a good story.
Is it a real slam dunk?
And I'm looking forward to talking to her about it. Matt, do you think that what we ought to do is we ought to paint all the cars the same color?
No.
So that nobody's looking for different colored cars?
No.
Yes, actually.
What is this, Nazi Germany?
Exactly. That's right, Drunk.
I do have an idea, though, Matt.
Communist Russia.
I know how we can.
How hard it is for me to find my vehicle in a parking lot as it is.
Right, exactly.
I know how we can fix Twitter for sure.
But what if we had universal cars? Like, there was just one car, and there was enough cars that we could all just commute around, and you just get in a car and you drive somewhere, and
like those bikes or
anything.
Or the scooters.
It's all just the same car. And you don't have to pay for it.
Okay, Bernie Sanders.
what kind of car?
Listen to me. They're all electric.
What kind of car is it going to be?
Somewhere, you park it, you plug it in. It's charged and ready for the next guy.
Is it going to be a Volvo?
Probably a Tesla, I would imagine.
And inside each car is universal health care.
Travis, when you get on Twitter, they have a list of the things that are trending. Those are like the big news stories of the day. And so you click on one of those, and it's a wall of dipshits just acknowledging that something is trending. Like, if you just took out the word trending from the things that show up in there, just like exclude that word, then you might actually be able to get the information. But instead, everybody's just saying, Kobe Bryant is trending. I have a pair of Kobe Bryant shoes. And you have to scroll through like 50 dipshits to find out that he died in a fiery helicopter crash. And it's a bummer because by then, like, you're almost like, finally.
Not until it takes that all important spot as the top trending thing. Does it actually just give you the like little synopsis of the information before it goes to all the
give
rando
us the
dipshits?
Information. Just like make some kind of algorithm that's like, hey, this seems to be what a lot of people are talking. We're not mentioning the ones that said, oh, it's trending. We're taking them out. We're taking out the Denzel Washington grabbing his chest meme. Oh, I saw Christopher Lloyd was trending and y'all had me scared. Like, I don't care that you're scared. I just want to know why a whole bunch of people all of a sudden are talking about Christopher Lloyd.
Yesterday, I had to, the Batman was trending, and I had to scroll past at least 20-some people just mentioning the Batman till it got to the point where it was like, oh, the director or whoever shared a picture of the clapboard saying, you know, we started filming.
And now you got to wait another 2 years to actually see it. But for some reason, it's news that they began working on something that you already knew they were working
on.
Yeah,
can't we? I'd love to go back to a time where you didn't know a movie was coming out until you saw a preview for it. Like now it is, it's announced that a studio is potentially going to be making a movie. Then it's announced that all of these people would potentially like to be involved in it. Then it's announced that they've potentially maybe rumored hired a director. Then it's like maybe announced that possibly we're going to start filming that. Oh, no, this person dropped out after a day of negotiations. Just show me the trailer. I'd be like, holy shit, I didn't know they were making that movie. And then I can go see it.
Matt, yeah, you're a man with children. You have a busy lifestyle. You commute to work. When you get home, what do you do for meals, Matt? Do you just get fast food a lot? What do you do?
No, I mean I used to get fast food a lot, but you know, in my healthier phases now,
he just goes outside and picks the roots.
I pick the root. I try to pack a lunch.
You're packing lunches now, huh?
I try to
make yourself a little lunch meat sandwich.
Maybe not a sandwich, but I'll pack like if Rochelle makes a quiche for the week, I'll have a slice of quiche.
Oh,
maybe quiche. Some leftovers. I'll pack a little container full of some nuts and cheeses.
You combine the nuts and the cheeses, you put them together, and then like you just
get a container, like there'll be some nuts and then like one of those Babel cheeses.
Baby Bell?
Yeah.
Now, Matt, have you tried one of the delivery services? One of the
like the Blue Aprons and
the Blue Aprons.
No. Hello Freshes.
Our friend Jody the other day, I think he's probably got like some kind of scam cooking with somebody called Every Plate, and he put out a thing that was like, hey, if you do this, then you get $20 off and I get $20 off and we both win. And I was like, you know what, I've been meaning to try one of these. I'm a busy guy, Matt. I'm about town, and when I get home I want to just have a meal, you know what I'm saying?
And they only take 20 minutes to make.
Matt, these goddamn Every Plate bastards.
Yes.
They say, hey, we're going to send you some
chicken cordon bleu,
some fancy burgers with some nice buns and some carrot fries. And I'm thinking I'm going to get like a thing that I can like take out of the fridge and stick in the oven, right?
Yeah.
Matt, not the case.
Those
motherfuckers, they mailed me a carrot, and they're like, here, make these fries.
Oh, well, yeah, you're supposed to cook it. Like they,
it's not like a plated thing.
Come on, dude, of course they did.
It's not a TV dinner that they're sending you.
I thought they were sending me like a prepared thing.
No.
All of those, they just send you the ingredients for a meal.
Those motherfuckers mailed me like 8 vegetables to chop up. It was like, I can go to the grocery store and buy a potato. What are you mailing me a potato for?
Yeah, but at the grocery store, they make you buy 5 pounds of potatoes.
And it's also the big selling point is the fact that they're only sending you the amount of those ingredients that you need, so you don't go to the grocery store, buy too much of it, and then throw it out. They're sending you just the right amount for that recipe.
I canceled it.
Never subscribe because
you're an asshole grocery store and cook and don't know how it comes.
Right. I could go to the store and buy a potato drunk. I don't need somebody mailing me a potato. That's not the part of the convenience.
Did you not read the description of what it was?
I guess not, Matt.
Because you're a non-reading motherfucker.
Okay, so I'm the asshole here. Nobody else thought that like they were going to like mail me like a... No, I got to get rid of that. I got to get rid of that button. That's not going to work.
A podcast before? Because anytime there's ever been an ad for Blue Apron, they tell you exactly what they are.
I was like, oh, guys, you'll never. Last night I made this delicious pork chops with
lemon, honey, sage.
Right. And there was this delicious beet salad made it myself. I got down and I made it with my girlfriend and it was a good time. And,
they got me in the kitchen chopping up like 9 vegetables like for half hour. I'm in there fucking chopping zucchinis. I mean, I could have went and bought a zucchini. I wanted the chopping part.
Yeah, but that would have taken an extra hour out of your day.
Shit.
What is the likelihood that you'd actually go to the store and buy a zucchini, though?
None.
Yeah, exactly. So now you're broadening your horizons.
Is that what it is, Travis? I'm broadening?
They're sending you just the right amount of product that you need to whip up recipes that you would never cook on your own.
They
BlueApron.com, promo code WFOD.
So everybody knew this? Everybody, I'm stupid?
Yes, I knew this.
Yeah.
See, I've listened to those commercials over and over again, I thought...
you're stupid, Mike. I'd say you're ignorant.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't say you're stupid. I'd just call you a dipshit.
Dumb motherfucker.
What a fool you are.
They're like, hey, you want some chicken scallopini? All you got to do is beat the shit out of these chickens and make them thin and then go get some of your own flour and then you cook them on the grill. I'm cooking on the grill and putting stuff in the oven and I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff. I should be on one of those shows.
They didn't send you a packet of flour?
No. They said you got to use your own flour and your own. I mean, it was fine, Travis. I think I might have fucked up the sauce. The directions aren't really as like a cut and dry. I mean, they're open to interpretation.
You worked in food service before. The directions can be
I worked
hard.
In like the dumbest food service you could work in. Like, you know, they had the plastic rings and.
I was going to say, you're talking to.
I mean, like
you Pizza Hut.
You press a button that says extra large.
Still food service.
Spits out a dough fucking plate and then you throw a bunch of shit on top of it
based on
corporate says you should put on it.
I mean, like if you told me to go find a Yukon potato, I don't know what the fuck that is. I mean, they sent me 2 different kinds of potatoes and they're like, hey, you need the 5 Yukon ones. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess these are it. There's 5 of them.
Were they good Yukons?
I mean, they were fine. You toss them in a little of your own olive oil, Travis. And,
what was the other potato?
I don't know. A russet? What are other kinds of potatoes? Matt, name some potatoes for us.
Red.
Russet.
Baby red. Russet.
Yukon.
Golden.
Sweet.
Baker's.
Pink lady.
Yeah, they sent me a sweet potato Braeburn. Last week, Drug. They were like, hey, cut up this sweet potato.
Uchi. Clementine?
I ain't got time for this shit.
You got the little broiling potatoes, fingerling potatoes.
Oh, they got the big broiling potatoes.
You guys just want to name some potatoes for a while?
Remember that potato lady from China?
Oh, Sister Potato.
Sister Potato, yeah.
Yeah, she was trying to get the Chinese to eat potatoes because, like, nobody likes them. But they were really easy to get.
And they were running out of rice, right?
Yeah, they were just like, hey, guys, I mean, we can't make potatoes here, but the Americans, they make too many damn potatoes. So we can get some potatoes from them.
Super cheap.
And I think that they were trying to grow potatoes, but it just wasn't working out.
They got shitty soil for potatoes. They can't do that.
They can try, though, Travis.
That's a big country. You'd think they'd be able to grow potatoes somewhere.
I mean, when all of your soil is made for growing other things, it's hard to convert.
I have a butter steak with carrot fries left to make and some kind of burgers that they sent me this little tiny packet.
What type of burger?
I mean, if you want, I'll take them.
Well, to be honest with you, Matt,
because I'm not lazy and I will make the carrot
fries. It's just
fries.
Some fucking ground beef that they want me to patty up myself.
Yeah, but what's in it? What makes it special?
It's not just ground beef.
It's got to be like a seasoning.
I mean, I haven't gotten into
pub burger. There's like jalapenos in there or something, some cheese.
Yeah, there's other stuff that goes into it, then I'll probably just.
Well, what is it? It's what I want to know.
Skip all that. That's the whole reason. Just give it to me. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to. I canceled it.
Is it enough for two or three?
It's barely enough for two.
Just put the whole batch of ground beef in the oven and make yourself a meatloaf. Just a big slab of ground beef.
There you go. Just cook the whole damn thing.
Instead of a picture. This is what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you like that, you bastards?
Yeah, I broke away from your recipe a little bit. I just made a meatloaf. And by the way,
don't try to send your goons after me. I'm armed.
Your meals take too long to make, so we put some of them in the freezer because we ain't got time for all that shit. Because you got us chopping vegetables for hours, and now
hashtag okay boomer.
Now all our knives are dirty.
Ran out of knives. I can't even cut my steak now.
Oh, Mike, you're such a curmudgeon.
There's got to be other people other than me who thought that they were going to, like, mail me a meal.
You get carrot fries, so here's a bag of carrot fries. No, yeah, you motherfucker.
I want a bag of carrot fries that I could just throw in the oven, like, made. So, I don't want to be in there.
You want a bunch of pre-cooked shit that you just are reheating then.
Yeah.
He wants a frozen meal delivered.
Yeah, I want them to, like, if they say they're sending me chicken scallopini with the sauce and shit on it, then I want, like a prepared piece of chicken that I can stick in the goddamn oven.
Subscribe to Swanson via Amazon Prime.
Right, go to the Cisco man and just be like, all right.
You know, my dad still...
You got a 10-pound sack of chicken Alfredo I can get off you?
Travis, when I was a kid, the Schwanz man was driving around in his yellow truck, and he was offering...
The Schwanz guys even exist anymore?
I see a Schwanz truck every now and then.
We should take you guys... There's a Schwanz truck graveyard on the way to work. I should take a picture and send to you guys.
Here in St. Louis, we got a company called Overwise, and they deliver milk in the morning.
So. And this guy, he was walking around, and he was just offering free quarts of ice cream. And I was like...
Their French vanilla ice cream is the best.
Dad... We got to talk to the Schwanz man because he's gonna give us this free quart of ice cream. And so my dad begrudgingly came outside and talked to the Schwanz man. And he still calls me like once every couple of months. And he goes, do you remember that time you brought the Schwanz man to our house and got that quart of ice cream? And then he was coming to the door every week trying to sell us stuff. This is when I was a young boy, Travis.
You're dead.
you had stars in your eyes over the free quart of ice cream.
And we frequented the Schwanz. When he came, we purchased things, and it was generally pretty good. So I don't know what he's bitching about. At a certain point, though, we just had too much Schwanz, and he started, when he saw the yellow truck, we would all go hide in the basement from the Schwanz man. he would gather us all up and tell us we have to go downstairs to hide from the Schwanz man.
Well, and it was probably 9 o'clock at night because those guys are like working around the clock trying to sell you beef taquitos out of the back of their fucking freezer truck.
And those beef taquitos are the fire. Put in an order, but he's not gonna get it. So now I've got all this excess. Fucking, you know, Burger Sam's.
Yeah, and I can offer you a discount because it was already ordered. If you just take it this week,
maybe that's what I need. Maybe I need to get some kind of relationship going with the Schwanz man again. Make him come out here and just bring me something that's a little bit more ready to go. That's more my speed. This
want the Schwanz guy to cook for you before he comes.
Matt, I'm not a carrot fries guy. You know what I mean?
Did you really make them though? Did you?
I haven't yet. They might be pretty good. I don't see myself making a bunch of carrot fries though.
Because I'm a big fan of a broccoli tot.
Love a broccoli tot.
Yeah, I like a good broccoli tot.
Broccolini.
That's another kind of potato, Drunk. Did you leave tater tot out of the potato list?
You know, there's a Laura potato.
It's actually not a kind of potato.
Yeah, it is. It's potatoes.
Okay, so then the French fry is a type of potato, too.
Correct.
No, that is a processed thing in the frozen section.
Made out of what?
It doesn't matter what
Made out of potatoes. It's a deep fried potato.
It's made out of potatoes. It's not a type of potato.
Sure it is.
You can't pull a fucking French fry or a tater tot out of the ground.
Travis, you eat a French fry. What are you eating?
A fried potato.
Right. It's a potato.
It's a type of potato.
It's a type of prepared potato.
prepared potato. That's
a, it's a prepped potato. It's not just a potato.
My favorite type of pig is bacon.
Mm, yep. When you go down to the farm and you see all those bacons walking around.
Yep. Give them a little shooka-shooka right behind the ear.
Mm-hmm. You guys might think that you're refuting me, but I don't feel as though you are. I mean, it is kind of bacon.
Mike, you've been refuted.
I haven't.
You just were.
I refute your refute.
Oh, no, I think Mike is right. You guys have egg on your face.
Don't you look like a fool?
And what kind of eggs are those? Yeah,
what types of eggs are there?
Benedict.
Scrambled.
Yeah. Poached. Can I get to go to the grocery store and get some of those Benedict eggs? A dozen of them, please.
Oh man! If
it was already prepared,
if they had eggs Benedict in this little satchel thing of yours, you would lose your mind, dude. That'd take you forever to prepare that.
Oh, so they just like mail me an egg and say, "Here, make this Benedict."
Of course, yeah.
You know, if you had a sous vide, you could sous vide up the eggs Benedict.
Don't you have to make like a hollandaise sauce?
You do,
Matt. What's an eggs Benedict?
So it's basically an muffin, English muffin.
With an egg on it?
With a slice of Canadian bacon, a poached egg, and hollandaise sauce.
So why do you call that eggs?
That's really fucking weird, because I'm pretty sure he asked me what it was.
Yeah, that just sounds like a sandwich.
A sprinkle of...
You took too much of a pause. I think he assumed you didn't know what it was.
Paprika. There was no pause. Play back the tape.
This show needs to go right in the trash.
Yeah, because you're bitching about something that everybody knows about.
Well, I guess I'm the fool. I guess.
You are.
It's only been the last 2 weeks that Mike has brought up something that he hated, and then it carried the first half of the show.
You think it's just been these two, Travis?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely just these two. Please revisit
starting a new thing.
I can't wait till this.
You start the show.
We're branching out, Travis.
He says, I'm here with Ryan, drunk, and Travis. And I'll be like, all right, Mike, what'd you hate this week?
Wow, guys, we're covering new ground.
There we go. The smooth transition to the next topic.
What's the next topic, guys?
I don't know. You got it written in front of you.
That's all I had. No, every plate stinks. That's
off the cuff, drunk.
That's my notes. Every plate stinks. Don't get it. I don't want the $20 off. You get the $20 because I don't want it. It's not even the money to me. It's that I don't want them just to mail me an onion and say, here, make this onion rings.
The principle.
Yeah. And you know, Travis, I watched the Morgan Spurlock made the chicken thing about how
I still haven't seen it. I can't find it. I can't
Super
find
Size Me Too?
Yeah, it's about
that's
how,
on like Amazon.
Yeah, all the chicken is like
To purchase.
You know,
it's a free with Prime.
You know all that stuff they're putting in the chicken, Travis. It's got to be bad for you. It's not good.
Oh, yeah, it's a bunch of nitrates and shit. They inject.
Right. It's all bad stuff. But I mean, like, you know, I don't want to farm chickens.
Yeah, I like to eat chicken, and I go to the grocery store to purchase it.
Right.
So is that pre-death or post-death?
Probably both, drunk. It's all bad.
Oh, definitely both. They plug those chickens full of shit in those factory farms, and then they kill them, and they plug them full of more shit.
They live in a dark room. They get so fat they can't stand up, and then they're murdered.
Yeah.
And then
injected with water to make them heavier.
Guys, what we're going to do.
Tell me.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Jessica Chiquetto Hinman.
Ooh, what did she do?
She wrote a book, Matt. We're going to talk
about it. We'll see what she thinks about every plate.
There we go. We'll be back.
WFOP! Many people believe there is only one path to becoming a famous violinist. I am here to report that there are actually two. Option number one, be born with prodigious musical talent in or near a city with an excellent music conservatory, such as New York or Moscow. Win acceptance to a world-class conservatory and practice for at least 6 to 8 hours each day. and a series of hundreds of grueling auditions, masterclasses, and recitals beat out hundreds of other violinists. Option number two, play very softly in front of a dead microphone while a CD recording of another, more talented violinist is blasted toward an unknowing audience. Go on a 54-city tour of America doing this. Pay your college tuition and New York City rent doing this. Notice that even though the music the audience hears is not being produced by you, the audience's applause for you, their praise, their standing ovations, are real. Notice that the inability to distinguish option number one from option number two, the inability to distinguish real from fake, is a classic sign of mental illness.
The cutting edge.
There is no radio station that kicks as much ass as you all do.
Online and on your smartphone.
Strangelabel.com.
Making sandwiches before your eyes.
Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
I'm not in the business of counting out Jody B anymore, but he certainly had to expect more from Doolittle. He took it in the first round, second overall, and got 12 points out of it. A little bit of a reprieve from his second rounder, Bad Boys for Life, and he did draft the new James Bond movie in the third round, which is a lot later than that should have gone. But geez, 12 points. That's gotta sting. Nothing coming out this week was drafted, so we'll have a little bit of time to reflect on all of this until Birds of Prey hits theaters February 7th.
Tired of confusing jargon on your toilet paper offering mega rolls and jumbo rolls? What's the biggest available, you may ask? Well, we have an answer for you. Dixco presents the Monster Roll. This two-ply, dual-quilted, soft and sturdy shit paper is a quality you'll want to keep using for years to come. And good news! Our two-day delivery service will bring it to your door and carry it straight to where you want to make your dukes. Why? Dixco Monster Rolls are the size of a washer-dryer. Targets won't sell them. Amazon doesn't want them in inventory. But you will be satisfied knowing you have the absolute biggest roll on the market.
Honey, we're out of toilet paper.
Haha, you should have got the Dixco Monster Roll. Act now before you run out again.
Dubfod goes hard.
Been 10 long years since the devil laid his fiddle at Johnny's feet, and it burned inside his mind the way he suffered that defeat. In the darkest pits of hell, the devil hatched an evil plan to tempt the fiddle player, for he's just a mortal man. The sin of pride, the devil cried, is what will do you in.
I thought we had this settled. I'm the best it's ever been.
Johnny, did you ever know the time keeps marching on? The coldest hour is the one comes just before the dawn. The devil's back in Georgia, will you stand up to the test? Or will you let the devil be the best?
Truth is, I hadn't played much since the baby came in June. But give me half a minute and I'll get this fiddle back in tune.
The devil grabbed the golden fiddle.
Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is an author whose memoir, Sounds Like Titanic, is available now in hardback. The paperback will be available in stores February 11th. Jessica Chiquetto Hinman is on the program. Jessica, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, Jessica, I'm doing pretty good. Jessica, did you know that those mail order food things like Every Plate and Blue Apron and all those, did you know that those they just mailed you a potato?
I did not.
See, I thought it was a prepared meal, and everybody said, everybody here has been saying, oh, no, of course they just mail you a potato.
To be honest, I've never tried any of them, but that's good to know.
You shouldn't. They're stupid. I thought for sure that they were going to mail me something that I could just throw in the oven. And
Mike, it's supposed to bring you closer together, like get to like doing something creative. You're going to cook now.
Yeah, but I can go to the store and buy a potato, Matt. They're not, Mike, saving me any time.
I don't understand why you're...
The point is not to save you time. The point is to save you on buying unnecessary groceries. We've discussed this.
You don't go to the grocery store. You get the exact quantity. You put it all... And then you learn how to cook it. And now you know how to cook the whatever terrible thing that you're cooking.
So next time, if you want to cook for more than two people, you can go to the store, get the proper amount for more than two people, and have a dinner party.
Jessica, I got your book in the mail Friday. I would have finished it, but I've been chopping up zucchinis the last couple of days. I got like 50 pages left. I'm excited to find out how it ends. The book is called Sounds Like Titanic. It's a memoir. It's about I guess you were like college age, and you were approached to kind of why don't you tell us? I know what it's about.
Her story and the book, Mike, is that when you order the book, they send you all the pieces so you can build your own book.
They'll send you 10 copies so that you can have a dinner party for all of your friends.
They send you the chapters individually, and you have to compile them yourself and bind them.
Exactly. It's a true story. I really do play the violin, but I was never Juilliard level violinist. And when I was in college, I saw this ad for this crazy job that said that you could go play for this orchestra every weekend. The money was really good. I was pretty desperate for money in college. So I thought to myself, I'll never make this. I was not good enough. And within a week, I was playing for this orchestra and going on tour all over the country and the world. We went to China. And the only thing that really differentiated it from a normal orchestra was that the microphone in front of me was off while a CD recording of a better violinist was being blasted towards unsuspecting audiences. And I even have a chapter called Millie Violini, because it's kind of like the Millie Vanilli of classical music.
So, like, have people reached out to you? Because the book has been out for a while. Have people reached out to you and been like, I was there and you're wrong? Because I would imagine that I would be kind of, like, pissed off. I'd be like, wait, no.
Yeah, just the opposite, actually. I mean, there have been some musicians and even a sound tech who worked for this composer who's reached out to me to say, you're absolutely right, and people who have wanted to do some internet sleuthing, looking up.
Jessica. Immediately I Googled and tried to find who it was. And it wasn't hard.
Yeah. I didn't name him purposefully, and I wasn't intending for people to go, you know, do that. But so people have reached out in that way to say they see how this is working, especially on TV. And, you know, the fact is that even after 13 years of classical music lessons on the violin, it took me a full day of looking at the musicians during my training weekend for me to even really be able to tell what was going on. So it was this perfect optical aural illusion. When the human brain sees a violinist with a violin and the human ear hears violin music, you know, you think those two things are related. You just don't usually stop to ask if someone would be faking that. And we were really playing. It was just that the audiences weren't hearing us.
And the big takeaway that I've gotten so far is that kids or parents need to get their kids into this penny whistle, because it sounds like it's just like a snake charmer tool to just get $20 bills out of people's wallets. It has an effect on people.
It truly does, which is really inexplicable to me. I really, after years of playing that music, I can't really stand the sound of the penny whistle anymore. But but yeah, I mean, people will be most familiar with the very opening of Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On from the movie Titanic. That's why my book is called Sounds Like Titanic, is because when people hear that flute playing in that style, the first thing they say is, sounds like Titanic.
Matt, are you familiar with I have a clip of the penny whistle, Matt. You got this sound? Does this do anything for you, Matt?
What?
The penny whistle.
What do you mean? Does it do anything?
Does it like stir something in you? Does it make you emotional in some way?
Is it, I do long for something better.
Jessica, the book, it's I don't think I'm probably like the intended audience for it, because it's kind of like a woman's coming of age kind of thing, and I'm a 37-year-old dude. But
I'm a 38-year-old lady, and I was very much hoping that men would read the book, women would read the book, everyone. I mean, it's very much, in addition to being about being a lady, it's also about being a millennial, being in the middle of a student debt crisis, just being in this country and not feeling like you're getting ahead in one way or another, reality breaking down. So it's my hope that in those ways, it really goes beyond, you know, it gets into the particulars of being a woman, but it's also just kind of about a particular time in our country that I think has grown a lot more relevant since, in terms of reality versus faking.
Yeah, yep. Mike, come on. Are you trying to say you're turning yourself off from a different perspective? Like, come on. You got to expose yourself to
Matt. There's been a few times where I've been reading this, and she talks a lot about, like, you know, like doubt and confidence issues and stuff like that. And, like, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm wearing a Halloween costume. You know, like, I used to be confident, and, like, as time has gone on, I just become, like, this jumble of crap, Travis. I feel.
Well, listen, like there was a time in our younger years, we walk around and say, you know, like we rule the world no matter what is actually happening in our life. And then as we start to see how the world works, all of those things start to break down. You're like, oh, maybe I suck. Maybe I'm not good at anything. Maybe I can't do this. And then there's another point when you finally just give up on everything and you're like, I'm confident again.
So you start to realize that all your hopes and dreams have never come true, and that you've wasted your life in some menial job that really contributes to the downfall of society. It's like, yeah, I mean, what am I doing?
Guys, the book isn't depressing. If we're painting that picture,
we're talking about the bookends, right? Like it's the confidence is there and seeps out and then comes back later. Like all the good stuff happens between when you're not so confident. So I'm sure this is probably an uplifting story.
Yeah. I mean, I would not paint it as depressing at all. It's, you know, it's about a particular time in my life. And for me, like those early 20s years were particularly difficult, and I teach college now, and I just watch people at that age, 18 to 22, and it really doesn't matter. It's just such a rough time of life, in its own particular way, where you're just trying to really, you're almost there to adulthood, but you have no idea how you're going to make it in any sense of that word, or that phrase, make it. And so it's about that particular time in life. But I think it's, you know, what's been the most surprising to me is I've gotten a lot of messages from even baby boomers, who have really, you know, liked the book as well and had things resonate with them. So even though it's like, it's been described by a lot of people as this, you know, millennial experience, I think anyone can kind of identify with times in life where you felt you weren't succeeding despite having done everything right. And, you know, trying really hard, working really hard, doing all the right things. Right. You know, that's kind of universal, especially in this country.
And I guess what even really is success? Because I mean, in a lot of ways, like what you did, you were successful at it.
at the fake violin, you know, again, and the classical music world is just such a competitive, cutthroat world. And there are people who can play the violin at 4 better than those who can play it at 35 after a lifetime of practice, right? Or 70 after a lifetime of practice. So in that way, it's really, musical prodigy is very anti-American, because in that way, it really doesn't matter how hard you work, because there's like an 8-year-old who can do it better than you can, right? So in that way, you know, I realized that lesson pretty early on. But then strangely, a lot of my friends who were raised in that classical music world quit their instruments or hated playing their instrument. And here I was touring around America and the world and making a good paycheck doing that and being on TV. But it was fake, right? And so the book kind of explains those sorts of contradictions and complexities of that.
And the stuff with your parents, it's kind of a love letter to the parent who takes their kid to, like Travis, how many nights a week are you taking your kid to swimming or soccer or karate? Mm-hmm. Or
it's all a blur, most of them.
I bet.
It made me want to call my mom and be like, Mom, yeah. Mom, thanks for taking me to all my dumb things.
That I don't do anymore.
Yeah, which has had zero application on the rest. I'm not really, though, drunk. It's about the friends you make along the way.
That's fair.
You know?
That's fair.
And all those contacts I made in hockey, I still try to miss connection with them all the time and say, hey, let's go have dinner, and be like, no, I'm busy.
So do we.
And that's important, drunk. It's important to make those text calls every now and then and be like, hey, you want to go have dinner? No.
So do we ask the classic WFOD question?
What? When she was...
Yeah, when you're writing a book, what do you do with your wallet?
No, when you're in the orchestra, when you're just sitting there playing the violin, where do you put your wallet?
Oh, that's a great question. Back in the backstage. So if y'all are planning an orchestra heist, I recommend Carnegie Hall at concert time, just in the backstage area there.
They don't have like lockers or anything. It's all
Mike,
just kind of hanging
out. I think
they'll put it in a bucket.
Mike, I feel like we just came up with our next script. It's the Carnegie heist, Carnegie Hall heist movie.
You know what, though? Even the best musicians make so little money that I think you're going to be like sadly disappointed.
Well, that's why the movie is going to be so good, is because it's going to be like Ocean's 14. It's going to be like a big heist setup. They're going to get all the purses and wallets, and they're going to walk out the door. They'll be like, oh, shit, there's like $13 in here.
Paid in cash, though, don't they? It's probably a cash transaction because you pay everybody there, right?
It depends on what kind of orchestra. I was paid in cash for this fake orchestra, but for a real orchestra, there's a union that represents a lot of players and orchestras. I mean, really, if you're planning a heist, you should make off with the instruments.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Pawn those penny whistles. Make a killing.
Yeah, just show up to the pawn store with 140 violins.
Big sack of cellos.
Right.
What do you give me?
One oboe.
So, yeah, I did know people who were struggling paycheck to paycheck, but they had like a $13,000 bow, you know, like that sort of thing. So, yeah.
It's all about priorities.
That is the musician's priority right there.
The hardback is available now. And guys, I went to Amazon right now. That you can get the hardback for $2 cheaper than the pre-order for the paperback. So you don't need to wait. But the paperback does come out February 11th in stores if you want to go buy it at a bookstore or something. Guys, Jessica, thanks for hanging out with us for a bit. It was fun.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Take care. Travis.
She's a nice lady.
Travis, I like Jessica.
Yeah, good gal.
Very nice. You know, she's she lives in Cantuck.
Is that in New Hampshire?
Camtuck?
Montauk.
Montauk?
Cantuck.
I know she's in the Eastern time zone, Matt.
No, Kentucky. She's in Kentucky.
She said she's in the Eastern time zone.
Kentucky's in the Eastern time zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Need to finish this damn book.
Matt's old stomping grounds.
Should have asked her if they're going to make a movie out of this bitch. It's very cinematic, Travis, this movie.
Is it?
The book is?
Yes. Like, it paints a picture, Matt. It's written. It's funny. It's like a... I don't read much, Matt. And I've been reading, and I've been really enjoying it. I'm like 200 pages in.
I'm glad.
I should have asked her what she thought of that movie, The Perfection, on Netflix.
Oh, you want to call her back?
Or what was that one with Miles Teller and
and J.J. Abrams?
No.
Yeah, I feel like the stage is set for like a Anna Kendrick movie, Travis.
Oh, and then she can do like another Cups, get a hit on the radio.
Right. Yeah, just do it in another Cups. What else is going on in the world, fellas? Is there things going on?
I'm a little curious about something.
Oh yeah.
I'm just wondering if Travis, if you've made the appointment to have your dog euthanized yet.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Drunk, did you see that Travis got a new dog?
I didn't. Oh, I did. Yes.
Doomsday clock is a ticking.
Hey, Frito's been in this house for quite a few years already, so we're good. The curse is broken.
Did you get that dog to replace Frito for when he dies?
Just in case.
You don't go any days without dogs. Next week. You're like, all right, Frito, you can go now.
Right.
Poor Frito.
What's this one's name?
Shiloh.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, Shiloh.
Like a beagle mix. Shiloh's a good name.
Yeah, she's a Walker German Shepherd. She's almost four, but she has the energy of a 6-month-old. She's crazy. Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Travis, you definitely like to get him a little older.
Travis, I think my dog...
Gotta rescue those bastards.
I think my dog chipped her...
you don't have to have him for as long.
Chipped her bottom teeth. What do I do?
Nothing.
Take it out.
Just take them out? Like with a pair of pliers?
Yeah, just get a pliers.
You know, like the big teeth on the bottom?
Yeah, just get some baby Orajel.
I think she chipped both of those.
Slather them all. They don't care.
Who's they? The dog doesn't care?
The dog doesn't care if they chip their teeth. They go about their lives. They don't know any different.
Well, yeah, but like, is there lasting effects?
They'll be fine.
Well, the vet will tell you that you're going to have to do something about it so they can charge you $1,000 per tooth to do something about it. But no, that's fine. Dogs, been around for thousands of years.
What am I talking to you about this for? All your dogs die. Matt, what do I do?
Dogs have been chipping teeth, dude. And what are you going to do? Buy doggy dentures?
I don't know.
You have to buy the dentures.
You got to get the crown for your dog.
Can you like file them a bit or something? Or...
File him. You're a crazy ass dog. You're going to fucking reach into his mouth and start filing his teeth.
Yeah, just get a Dremel tool and just start going to town.
But I mean,
is
that what the vet does? Drunk has been on my shit for like a month, Matt.
I haven't been on your shit for a month.
So, guys, what happens is when we have a guest scheduled, I put an event on our calendar so that people can see, we have a guest booked. And then, like, we get a reminder day of, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. We have a guest booked tonight. And so Drunk responds to the guest book event, can't come.
Right.
And so I message Drunk, are you not coming tonight? What's going on? And he goes, I'm in your head, more. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, there's an event for tonight, and you said you can't come to it. So are you not coming and doing the show? He's like, I'm in your head. And like he got me with the old
mind game.
Said he's not coming trick.
Because you've been talking about it for like 36 hours nonstop.
Like, whoa, he really got me with the old says he's not coming, but he is coming trick.
I did get you. You're fucking fired up about it.
There's been no activity in our group chat except Mike being like, oh, yeah, you got me drunk. Oh, what? So are you coming or what?
But what kind of trick is that, Travis? A trick is like tying my shoelaces together. It's not like RSVPing not coming to something and then coming. That's not a trick. That's just dumb.
I say I'm going sometimes.
Just don't respond to them. I'm taking you out of that group.
I never respond to those things. But you know what the cool thing is even if you don't respond, you still get the reminder.
I was bitching about cats the other day and Drunk sends like eight who cares gifts.
You kept going on and on about it.
I'm telling my friends about an experience in my life. I saw cats and it was weird. That movie Cats, I didn't like it.
Good. I'll tell you. Nobody liked it.
All the damn cats.
You won't.
All the damn cats just spend the whole movie introducing themselves, and then the movie's over. It's like
I'm Rum Tong Tugger.
I'm this cat. I run on the railways. And then, like, he doesn't show up anymore. But then we got to talk about another cat.
You know why that is? It's setting up the sequel. It's the origin story of the cats as a team.
I feel like I didn't really get much backstory on the cat, Travis. They sing like one, like they made a big deal about how Taylor Swift was in the movie. Taylor Swift was in the movie for like a minute and a half. She introduced Idris Elba, and then she was on a boat. She was gone. And we didn't talk about her again. It was like, why was Taylor Swift even in this movie?
So
why did she even bother?
They all come. back together in the sequel, you're like, oh, hooray, all my favorites are back.
How long was the movie?
It's like an hour and 40 minutes or something. It wasn't really? Very long. It wasn't too bad.
An hour and 40 minutes of nothing?
No, like, nothing happened.
That Cats was worse or better than Terminator Dark Fate?
Okay, here's the thing.
Don't do it to me, Mike. Don't do it to me.
Cats is a bad movie.
Yeah.
But like I went into it knowing it was a bad movie.
You should have went into fucking Terminator knowing it was a bad movie.
You thought it was a good movie. I took your recommendation,
to
Drunk.
To me, it is a good movie.
And you got my hopes up. You got me thinking, oh, well, Drunk thought this was pretty good. Yeah, it's a piece of shit.
I think every Terminator is good. It doesn't matter.
So, really, Matt, I would say that Terminator Dark Fate is worse than Cats.
I'm quitting. It's my last show.
There's no redeeming qualities to Cats, but like Cats also didn't like completely disregard like other Cats movies that I liked.
As far as you know.
Like, what's another cat movie you like?
A cat movie.
Did you go see Cats on Broadway?
You know, Matt, do you remember Cats and Dogs? It was like a
that's a great movie.
Evil
it's
white a, cat that wanted to take over the world.
Michael J. Fox does the voice for the main character.
I think I remember Baldwin thinking that movie was pretty good.
Milo and Otis.
It might not hold up.
The Aristocats.
It does hold up. My kids watch it.
Homeward Bound: The Incredible
Homeward
Journey.
Homeward Bound's a great movie.
Does that count as a cat movie?
No, I think so. That's more.
My
of
favorite
a
cat movie is Garfield: The Tale of Two
Family
Kitties.
Family pet movie. Yeah.
What about that one where
the Aristocats for sure?
Dude turns into a cat. Nine Lives with Kevin Spacey.
Everybody wants to be a cat.
We are Siamese, if you don't please.
What about the Aristocats?
Cat's eyes pretty good. Cat people is really erotic in a really strange, unforgiving way.
What about Catwoman starring Halle Berry?
Oh, good cat movie.
Don't fuck with it's cats, cold. Matt. Don't fuck with cats.
Oh, that's my favorite cat movie.
Turn off the machine, right?
Yeah.
Drunk, do you have what you'd say is a pick of the week?
Maybe it's time we turn off the machine.
Could it be like a pick?
And you're watching it.
You're the problem.
You're fucking problem, you
from
dicks.
Last week?
A pick from last week?
That's all right. My pick of the week is Sounds Like Titanic. Go get the book. It's going to be you'll love
it. The Cat from Outer Space.
You want to?
Oh, that's a classic Disney.
You want to read it when I'm done with it, John?
Sure.
Okay.
Is it on audiobook?
I don't know.
No, because I can't actually read.
Oh.
Okay. Well, just give Jessica a call and ask her to read it to you over the phone.
Travis, pick of the week.
No, I have a new dog and a couple kids and a new truck, and watching episodes of Roseanne. So no, I have no pick of the week.
Roseanne is your pick of the week.
That's Roseanne. Yeah,
Matt, pick of the week.
This one is a bit of an anti pick of the week.
Oh, it's not watch something.
No, there's a song that came out today. Released by the band that you all know and love, the Red Jumpsuit Apparatus.
Nice.
And this song is embarrassingly bad. Like,
how bad could it really be, Matt?
It's really bad. The lyrics are.
You put something on that machine that is. How bad is it?
It's pretty cringy.
Matt, how bad is this song? Red Jumpsuit Apparatus.
Yeah. What I think it like, I forget the title. It says something about L.A. in it, and he talks about how like he's fallen in love with this girl. And
all right,
like,
I'm going to Red Jumpsuit Apparatus Vivo, Matt.
Yeah.
Am I gonna find it?
I'm not sure.
It's something about L.A.
Yeah, I listened to it on YouTube.
A long time ago, in a galaxy called L.A.
I remember when we met you.
Yeah, I had enough of that. So, guys, my pick of the week.
Transported me back to the early 2000s.
And this sounds like My Chemical Romance almost. Travis, what did you think of that? That's pretty good, right?
It's like a newfound glory, is what it sounds like.
Have they been gone a while, Matt? And this is like their comeback?
I think so.
I mean, my ears aren't bleeding yet, so.
And Travis, you know what? I'll tell you what. I don't like Green Day. But
I do not like Green Day.
That new Green Day song is pretty fucking good.
It doesn't sound like Green Day.
Sound anything like Green Day. And I think that's why it's good.
Hi, it's Trey Cool from Green Day. And I'm going to show you guys how to play our new song called Oh Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound anything like Green Day, which I think is... Wait, this isn't even it.
I don't know what that Green Day. Like, they've released a couple of songs, and I've not enjoyed any of it.
Yeah. Guys, my pick of the week is the Devil Comes Back to Georgia, which was a revelation in Jessica's book, is that there is such thing as The Devil Comes Back to Georgia. It is the sequel to The Devil Comes to Georgia.
Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Devil Went Down to Georgia, where the devil comes back to Georgia.
Yeah, he's got to versus him again.
Yeah, he versus the same guy, and the same guy like hasn't been playing. And he's like, well, I'll dust this thing off and whoop your ass. And, you know, he does. He beats the devil again. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert.
Inherent skill in that man, regardless of how often he plays.
Johnny Cash sings this. He's part of the ensemble that got together to do The Devil Comes Back to Georgia. It's pretty great, Travis. I am excited. And I am excited for The Devil coming back again to Georgia a third time.
Sometimes The Devil comes back to Georgia again.
The Devil Went Down to Georgia was the first one.
Devil Comes Back to Georgia.
And then The Devil Comes Back to Georgia.
Sometimes the devil returns to Georgia once more.
We still know what the devil did in Georgia.
Mm-hmm. See, Travis, what happens is we have these great bit ideas at the end of the show, and I say I'm going to cut them out because we should do them.
And then we don't.
And then I forget. Like last week I was talking about Baby Terminator, and I was going to cut it off, but then I didn't.
Yeah, that was just like the heist idea, the Carnegie Hall heist, where everybody, it's a big elaborate heist, and then they go and...
Yeah, I mean,
like,
all their purses are just back there.
$20 in change in all these purses.
So this is some of the lyrics that are in that song. It says, I guess my game is strong. I'm just a sucker for a smart girl with a big fat brain in her skull. Wait, she made a hard man soft.
Is this the red jumpsuit apparatus?
Man? Yeah, she made a hard man soft. I used to rock it till wheels fell off. Now I'm hanging out in the slow lane. But don't feel sorry for me. My heart is fuller than the tallest tree in the park that gives the world its shade.
I bet if you went back and looked at old red jumpsuit apparatus lyrics, they'd probably be as similarly stupid.
Yeah, I would agree. I thought it was funny.
You're aware of them now.
I always get red jumpsuit. Like if we had a game that was is it red jumpsuit apparatus or alkaline trio? I wouldn't be.
Oh, honest. I would know the difference.
V-Sum 41.
Yeah, a lot of those bands I get all mixed up, Matt. I get them all mixed up.
I know the difference. I would have to be the one that plays the clips, and then you'd have to guess.
Yeah,
I'm telling you that. Red Jumpsuit Apparatus songs did sound a lot like a Newfound Glory.
Guys,
I would disagree with you, Travis.
You do disagree?
We're gonna have
to take this offline.
We did it. We did it, guys. So we'll do it again, like at a later date.
Yeah, podcast month.
My God, Travis, podcast month.
Oh, I can't wait for next Tuesday. We get to reveal the candle.
Matt has been painstakingly preparing
deep into candles.
Podcast Dubfod Sclusy candles, Travis.
That's right. There's eight. There's going to be eight candles, guys.
Oh, that's a limited number of candles.
Limited edition for sure.
Yeah.
I'm getting one for sure.
Yep. And then Matt's going to keep one. So that really is only six.
I'm not going to keep one. I've
too many candles.
Yeah, I got a lot. I've got a surplus of candles at my house.
Well, you can send mine to Mike too. So
I need a candle. I'm almost out of my candle.
Guys, podcast month starts next week. We got a lot lined up for podcast month. Pretty excited about it. Drunk has already declined that he's coming to any of them, but who knows what that actually means.
Guys, and just so you know, there's 8 candles, and every candle sells for $79.99.
It's a lot, Matt. It's a lot for a candle.
Right, but it's exclusive. So.
Guys, thanks. We'll see you next week. Toodles.
Guns out, funds out.
Of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself. Bye.